For years, Illinois State University has been knocking down old dorms and nudging its sophomores, juniors, and seniors into off-campus apartments. Developers and landlords looking to make a buck responded by building more apartment buildings, luring students with fancy amenities and names like The Lodge and The Summit. All that could soon be flipped upside down. GLT's Ryan Denham has this report.
ISU is pivoting back to on-campus housing. The university is looking to partner with a developer for a public-private partnership that would add up to 1,200 beds, a 20% increase in in-campus housing. Tuesday is the deadline for developer proposals, and ISU wants to have its new housing project built in time for the fall 2021 semester. This change in direction would disrupt the off-campus student housing market. Landlords say vacancies will rise as more students stay on campus, cutting into their revenue and increasing the likelihood for dilapidation or even foreclosures. Some say they were surprised by ISU's abrupt shift in housing philosophy and want more information.
I wish we knew more about it. It's been very under the radar, kind of a secretive thing.
That's Ed Sauter. He's the owner of The Summit, the $4 million-plus student apartment building that opened last year. Sauter has owned apartments locally since attending ISU in the 1970s.
We're a little bit disappointed that we didn't. There wasn't some communication between the university and the support community as to where they're going. So initial thought was, we're always glad for good things to happen at ISU, for growth to come about. We also somewhat question why they're going back into the real estate business when they made a major plunge away from it a few years ago and kind of turned it over to the private sector.
The off-campus student housing business has changed drastically in the last decade when ISU closed and later demolished two giant dorms and pushed 1,500 students into the private sector. Townwide, Normal has seen 64 new apartment buildings with over 1,200 units built over the last decade, many for the ISU market. 20 years ago, 40% of undergrads at ISU lived on campus. Now it's about 30%. Landlords say the apartment market is already saturated, especially after the fall 2018 openings of The Summit, Stadium Suites across from Hancock Stadium, and a major expansion of The Lodge on Willow. Here's Tom O'Rourke, owner of Redbird Property Management, with 310 student apartments.
We're overbuilt right now. There's lots of vacancies on campus as we speak.
There are many reasons for ISU's shift in housing strategy, informed in part by a 2018 study from a consultant. ISU Vice President for Student Affairs, Lavester Johnson, says it found ISU lacks enough on-campus housing for sophomores.
We are expecting fewer people graduating actually from high school. Competition is as strong as it's ever been amongst and between institutions, and therefore we have to make sure we're upping our game in order to just maintain where we're at enrollment wise. So, and I think this plays into that as far as providing quality facilities for our students.
Johnson says ISU has no plans to drastically grow total enrollment beyond the 20,000 to 21,000 range where it is now. So I asked Johnson, as the supply and demand equation changes, what's ISU's message to off-campus landlords?
Yeah, I think that there would be opportunities for them as it relates to upper-class students and graduate students in that sense, providing options for our students. I think, again, just as we remain concerned about making sure that the quality and the level of the student experience that we provide within our residential environments is at the top of what should be provided on college campuses, in order to retain them. I think I would have our partners within the community who are housing our students consider that just as we are, and maybe the focus shifts a little bit more than to upgrading and maintaining whatever existing facilities that they have and providing the highest quality that they might be able to do as well.
Ed Sauter says the off-campus housing market now has an occupancy rate of around 90%. If ISU adds 1,200 beds, Sauter says that could fall to around 80%.
If you take a young couple who's bought a four-unit building and they're managing it themselves and they're right on the budget, if they lose 10% of their gross income, their taxes stay the same, everything else stays the same, that's gonna hurt those type of people.
On the surface, the off-campus housing market is dominated by big management companies like Young America, SAMU, and First Sight. But those companies are often just managing buildings for an owner, investors like Sauter, who may or may not be able to absorb that revenue loss.
If you have somebody that's highly leveraged and their cash flow is based on a historical 90% occupancy rate and they shift to 80, they're not going to be able to make cash flow, and the banks will be very aggressive on keeping tabs of that.
The overbuilt market is already causing issues. Tom O'Rourke says Redbird Property Management has been converting some of its four-bedroom apartments into two-bedroom units or renting them to just three students looking to attract tenants. He says more vacancies will drive down rent.
We've been on campus 40 years, and we've never had a vacancy, and I'm worried about having vacancies next year.
Another stakeholder hoping to soon learn more is the town of Normal. Up to now, City Manager Pam Reese says the town of Normal hasn't been involved at all in the planning stages or the issuing of ISU's request for proposals for developers. But it's been fielding questions from residents and landlords, like whether ISU is planning to grow enrollment. The answer to that, as a reminder, is no. Normal also has a financial stake in the off-campus market. Those giant apartment buildings are some of the biggest property taxpayers, funding schools and local government operations.
If we have additional housing off-campus that might suddenly not be used by students and be vacant, that's, I think, an important impact on the neighborhoods. So if we understand, you know, what the plans are, I think that helps us adapt a little bit more.
For consumers, disruption isn't always bad. Look no further than ride-sharing apps like Uber and Lyft or short-term rental platforms like Airbnb. They've made traveling way easier, even if they've caused pain for taxi cab companies and hotels. The consumers in this case are ISU students like Angel Zamudio, a junior who's majoring in history and political science. He's also an off-campus senator for the Student Government Association. He's got strong words for landlords.
They kind of use students as like piggy banks, in a sense. Like, they can milk us out for as much as they want, because obviously with the bigger companies, they have that, like, I wouldn't say monopoly because there's like a few of them, but like they tend to act like one because they're like, all right, well, we have these apartment complexes. Let's charge it to whatever price we want. And these students are going to pay for it because they want to live near campus. And I feel like that's kind of like disgusting in a sense, because a lot of these students come from like lower, like for me personally, like I'm from a lower income family, so I don't necessarily have the funds to pay for like a luxurious apartment and all that stuff.
Zamudio is critical of what he sees as predatory practices among local landlords, specifically in creating a false sense of urgency among students to sign leases prematurely. But he's not sold on the new ISU on-campus housing project either. Neither is Kayla Breland, a senior political science major and also an off-campus senator with the Student Government Association. ISU students are required to live on campus their first 2 years, but many sophomores now get an exemption. That's what Breland did. And even if ISU had offered an on-campus sophomore village when she was making her decision, Breland says she still would have moved off campus.
I'm a picky person, so I like nice things. So for that, it was pretty hard. But I really, for me, the big thing of getting out of the dorms was because I didn't like the lack of privacy. I think that really was the hard part, and trying to just find places where real estate companies can really work with you and like sympathize with you as well, your actual individual needs and stuff. So that was the hardest part, but I've enjoyed it. Like I prefer not to be on campus.
Cardinal Court is an ISU student apartment complex that opened in 2012, and it's an option for older students, but it's expensive. ISU's own housing study found that Cardinal Court is priced above the market average. All these dynamics are being considered by potential developers who are required to submit their proposals to ISU by Tuesday. That market evaluation process is key, according to Jamie Wilhelm, Executive Vice President for Public-Private Partnerships with American Campus Communities. That Texas-based company is the largest owner, manager, and developer of student housing communities in the U.S.
We want to make sure that when we build in a market or acquire in a market or partner with a university in a market, that we understand that we have a very deep pool of student residents who can afford to live with us.
The new ISU project will be a public-private partnership like the one that built Cardinal Court. American Campus Communities was involved in that project, by the way. After a set amount of time, ISU would own the new housing development. The total cost of the project is not yet known. ISU's 2018 housing study pegged that cost as between $55 million and $68 million, but that was for 600 to 800 beds, and everything is likely to change with a developer's specific proposal. Jamie Wilhelm says public-private partnerships, or P3s, are increasingly common for these types of projects.
Many institutions are looking at public-private partnerships because they struggle to maintain sufficient reserves to reinvest in their existing infrastructure, housing specifically. And so utilizing a private sector partner, you have the ability to risk transfer that responsibility to the private sector so that as your assets age, they're consistently reinvested in.
He says there are only a handful of national and regional companies that are large enough to compete for these larger 1,200-bed-plus projects. Finalist proposals and presentations will be due in a few weeks, with site visits to follow in the spring. Landlords like Tom O'Rourke and Ed Sauter praise ISU leadership for maintaining strong enrollment, even as other public universities have struggled. But Sauter says real estate is a tough business for him and for the university.
And there will be some damage inflicted, but that's the risk that we know we face as investors. On the other hand, it is in the best interest of ISU to partnership with the private suppliers out there who have faithfully provided housing for years and paid. I'd hate to think of the thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars get paid by local investors. And so this was a little bit of a thorn in everyone's side.
That's local student apartment owner Ed Sauter speaking with GLT's Ryan Denham.